In the mid-1930s, despite having finally cracked the design for a fleet submarine, the US Navy was now actually quite concerned about the very type that they'd just built. Specifically, their problem was build time. It was taking about 2.5 years to get a fleet sub from keel to full operation in peacetime, and it was projected that in wartime, it would still take almost 2 years to do so. Thus, although most officers agreed that the majority of peacetime construction efforts should therefore be focused on the fleet type to build up the numbers while they could, they also saw the need to have a smaller, cheaper design that could be built far faster in times of war. But to have such a submarine ready to go for the outbreak of hostilities meant they would have to have some prototypes built during peacetime. The first attempt at this was a pair of slightly different designs that essentially represented extremely austere versions of fleet boats. They were simpler, slightly slower, fractionally smaller, and by dropping two of the six forward torpedo tubes, slightly less heavily armed. But ultimately, this attempt went nowhere, as the overall loss in performance was seen as considerable compared to the relatively minor decrease in cost and build time, and so the submarines ended up not being ordered. But by the end of the 1930s, there were additional pressures. Training subs would need replacing fairly soon. The older R and S-class boats were due to be decommissioned very soon, and smaller craft were thought to be more useful in the training role. The same concerns about fleet subs' build time were still present, and others now added that in any Pacific war, in the best case, if the Philippines held out, well, then enemy ships would be right on the doorstep of the US Navy bases there trying to attack them, and if the worst case bore out, then Pearl Harbor and Hawaii in general would be being stalked by enemy ships and submarines. In either case, range was not really going to be an issue. And in the intermediate case, enemy bases would likely be in complexes of atolls and Pacific island chains, where access was usually through shallow water, and this would also favour small, sneaky submarines to complement the big ones that could stalk the deep oceans. Admirals Lockwood and Hart debated specifics of such a submarine. With four forward torpedo tubes, should it also have two aft tubes, or should it just have more torpedo storage forward? And in the latter case, it would have to trust to gyros to guide torpedoes around at extreme angles when needed. Were submariners going to be happy with that? And exactly what range should this submarine type have? And moreover, should they go with an expensive torpedo data computer or simpler, earlier methods? After these and a number of other issues were resolved, if you're interested, the torpedo data computer issue resulted in a compromise where a simplified TDC Mark II would be installed. Two submarines were ordered, one from Electric Boat Company and one from Portsmouth Navy Yard. Although they were loosely based around the same specification, which called for an 800-ton submarine and thus are usually grouped together as a two-vessel class, there were some differences between the Mackerel and the Marlin. The former was the slightly larger, at 825 tons displacement when surfaced, around 243 foot long, capable of 16 knots on the surface and 11 when submerged. Running on two shafts, the submarine was armed with six torpedo tubes, four forward and two aft, with a reload provided for each tube, plus a mounting point for a 3-inch gun, although this wasn't initially installed. The Marlin, on the other hand, was 25 tons lighter, 4 foot shorter, and a couple of knots slower both above and below the water, but it could travel 900 nautical miles further, in part thanks to the two vessels using completely different diesel and electric motor setups. Although many officers thought that either one of these subs or some amalgam of them would be authorized for wartime production, and a fractionally enlarged version with 10 torpedo tubes and 20 torpedoes was sketched, neither submarine ended up being commissioned before spring 1941, and at that point the US was already under mobilization orders, and as untested designs compared to the fleet subs, the smaller subs were not considered eligible for immediate bulk ordering. Still, many persisted in asking for a revised design to be constructed. But while some officers were completely against it, the fate of the small submarine in US Navy service ultimately hinged on two important factors. Firstly, it proved possible to build fleet subs much faster than pre-war estimates had thought possible, about half the time they'd thought in actual fact. And secondly, the undecided majority of officers mostly voted that they would allow progression with small submarine construction, but only as long as it wasn't going to interfere with fleet submarine production. But it proved impossible to work out quite how to switch a submarine yard over to small sub construction from fleet sub construction in less than 6 months. And that would represent half a generation of fleet submarine construction lost, since by this point fleet subs were going from keel to commission in just under a year, on average. And so, despite a few revised specifications being created, no further small submarines would be ordered, and Mackerel, together with Marlin, spent the war as training and research subs, almost entirely based on the northeast US coast, being decommissioned at the end of the war and scrapped soon after as their roles were taken by the numerous fleet subs that were now available.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.